We will continue from verse 24 to 27. So if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, 24. And it says here, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. If you see this very clearly, Apostle John is talking to warn the church about false teachers. Why? It says very clearly in verse 26, these things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Well, that's the key point over there. Why he's writing this? Why he's writing is because there are false teachers who will come and deceive the flock. And the second thing what Apostle John is saying is that we need to continue in the Son and in the Father. And you will see this at in verse chapter 2:24 says that you shall continue in the Son in the Father. Then the third thing what I see is that we need to abide in him. That's verse 27, the last part, we need to abide in him. And of course we need to understand this is the continuation from the previous verse where John uses the word therefore. So whenever you see a therefore, that means it's not a new beginning, it's talking about the previous verse. Because he's connecting this to the previous verse, as the previous verse is the key to the continuation. Because it says that whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. And that means whoever denies Christ, whoever doesn't trust in the Son, that means you're not saved basically. You don't have God. So that's very important. And John goes on to say, which you have heard from the beginning. What is he talking here? Which you have heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning? You came from the darkness to the light of Christ. What did you hear from the beginning? John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. You heard the beginning of Christ. The true Savior, that's what you heard. And what was the mission of Christ? Why did he come? The mission of Christ was to reveal the will of the Father. John chapter 1 verse 18 says that. That he came to reveal, he was in the bosom of the Father, he came to reveal that will to us. And he came to seek and to save which was lost. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. That's his mission. And what is the message that he brought to the people of God? The message is, what is the message? It is the gospel of Christ. That's the message. The gospel of Christ is presented in the Word of God. So this is what you heard from the beginning. This is the basic. This is the root. It's Christ and the Word. Christ and the gospel. And what John is saying here, what you have heard from the beginning, you need to continue in them. Because seducers will come. People who will come and seduce you in wrong teaching. And they will try to make you go into error. So we need to abide in Christ and continue in him. Remember Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's how we came to know the Lord. We heard the message. So he tells us to continue. Now verse 25 says, John insists on this one, verse 25, that not only the beginning of a blessed life to be found in Christ Jesus, the eternal life is promised in Christ alone. Okay, verse 25, the promise he had promised us, even eternal life. That's the greatest promise, to have eternal life. You can look everything what you want to look, but the greatest what you have is, I have eternal life. And this is what John has given us. Christ alone we have eternal life. This is the promise. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Okay, you have to believe in the Son. Verse 26, again we see the main point here. John is writing this letter to the church because of them. Who are them here in verse 26? The false teachers. This goes along previously. The context flows all the way through. The false teachers. What is the intention of the false teachers? To seduce the church. What is seducing? What do you mean by seducing? It means to lead away from the truth into error. It means to lead somebody who is in the truth into error. It means, how do they do that? Through deception. It is Satan. The Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light, and so does his ministers, so does his servants. That means it's a good counterfeit. It's very, the false teachers, they come with convincing ideas, and it's very logical, but we need to remember the truths, the basics. That's so important. Because there are wolves that comes in sheep's clothing. Because the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian church for 3 years, with night and day, with tears in his eyes, that he warned the believers that wolves will come among you. Okay? Wearing sheep's clothing. And Jesus also said this many times, that there will be wolves coming in sheep's clothing. What is the sheep's clothing? What is the sheep clothing? Sheep clothing is the vocabulary of the Word of God. They use scriptures. That's the sheep clothing. And you need to tell a sheep clothing and see what they truly believe. Then you will see a wolf. Now verse 27, it says, God gave us, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as he taught you, will abide in him. Now, God gave us the Spirit. When you became a Christian, he gave us a Spirit, which he gave us. We received it, the fullness of grace, right? And once we received it, and this Spirit is compared to anointment, compared to an oil, okay? And that's the anointment we receive. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, now he which established us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. Because Christ is the anointed one, right? If Christ is anointed, the body is anointed. The head is anointed, then the body is anointed. And also, he has sealed us, given us the Spirit in our heart. Now, when he says here, you need not any man to teach you, okay? This goes along again with the context here. The context is very important. It doesn't mean that nobody can teach you. That's not what it means. It means that context is the false teachers who will come and teach in the spirit of Antichrist. So, but those who are anointed in Christ, those who are true believers, will discern the truth, because you will not listen to the false teachers and don't allow them to teach you. So as you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it bring us into remembrance, right? Jesus said the Spirit will bring us into remembrance. John 14:26, and it will bear concerning witness of who? Of Christ. Christ is the sender. Now, having finished those verses very fast, What I want to do now is to make this as a topic and to give us a remembering the beginning. I'm going to use this as a topic to remember the beginning. Because John's purpose is to exhort the church. He is going to warn the church. That is so important for us to know the beginning. So, know the beginning. There's going to be a lot of times you will hear the word remember or remind, because we are so prone to forget. The church needs to be reminded. Remember the children of Israel. That's the first thing that came to my mind. The children of Israel, they were under the bondage of Pharaoh. They were slaves to Pharaoh. And they were crying, slaves to Pharaoh. They were slaves to bondage. But God, with His mighty hand, delivered them, brought salvation to them, brought freedom to them when God delivered from the bondage of slavery. And God gave victory over the enemy. But how soon they forgot. That's great salvation. How soon they forgot that. They forgot how God brought them out of the enemy, and they began to grumble. The only thing they remembered was not the great salvation of God. The only thing that they remembered was, you know what? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11 verse 5. But remember here, this is what they remembered. Numbers chapter 11 5. Remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Isn't that amazing? You don't remember the spiritual things. A lot of people will remember all the fleshly things, but not the most important, the what profits the soul, they forget. They remember all the other stuff, the cucumbers and the melons and all the food, but they forgot. God had to remind His people of this truth time and again and again. And we find the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, in chapter 20. And again we see the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. Why? Deuteronomy is a reminder of the law. Again, Moses has to remind them. A reminder of the law to God, to His people. And again, in Deuteronomy chapter 5:15, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy 5:15, please. 5:15 says, "Remember, and remember thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence, and through a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." And here, God had to remind them. And in the same way, we remember how God reminded His people the covenant that He swore to Abraham. And when God said, "I'm going to multiply your seed, and as the stars of heaven, the Messiah will come through the seed of Abraham." And again, we see God reminded this covenant over and over again. And we see God reminding the children of Israel to observe the commandments over and over again. The beginnings are important. How many times we need to remind a child? How many times we need to remind them over and over again? It's the same with us. We need to be reminded. In the covenant of grace, it's so important we need to go to the beginnings of this and have a glance of this. In the covenant of grace, the Father, He chose a people. He loved them. This is before the foundation of the world. He gave them to His Son. And God knew that they would fall under Adam. But also Christ promised that He would die for them. And the Holy Spirit will regenerate them. and bring back us to the Father, and we can call God by Abba again. We'll be restored, we'll be reconciled back again. So the Father, He made this covenant eternity past. This was a covenant of grace because we don't deserve it. We deserve nothing but the wrath of God. But it was a covenant of grace done by the will of God. As we deserve punishment, instead of punishment, He showed mercy for the elect. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 89, verse 2. Verse 2 says, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and I will build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness, also in the congregation of the saints." You know, even Matthew Henry, talking in his commentary, says this is the covenant of grace that was established in the heavens. First of all, the covenant was made with his chosen, David, and here it's not talking on the physical side of David, but talking on the spiritual side of David. It was established with Christ. Because Christ is called the Son of David, and it is the seed of Christ that will be established forever. Verse 14 says, the seed will be established forever. It is the seed of Christ. Through Christ came the church, the seed. This is the mystery of salvation, that all heaven shall praise the wonders of God. Isn't it great? The heavens are going to praise. In the book of Revelation, at the end, you see everybody falling down at God's throne and praising God for the great salvation He has given us. And heavens are going to praise. And this is a mystery beyond our understanding. Because it happened, it was planned before the time began. That's why Apostle Paul says this is a great mystery. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 32, he speaks, this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a great mystery. Now what is a mystery? What is a mystery? A mystery is something that was hidden in the past. Now it is being revealed. Now it has been unveiled. Now we know that Jesus came to reveal what? The will of the Father. So even the mystery which has been hidden from ages, Colossians chapter 1 verse 26. Let's turn to Colossians 1:26. Paul says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to who? To His saints. To the believers only. That's why the world, they cannot understand this. The cross, the gospel is foolishness to them unless God opened their eyes. It has been revealed to the church and to the church only. It has been manifested to the elect, to the church. And you can preach the gospel to people who are very highly intellectual, doctors, engineers, people who are very intellectual, but they don't understand. For them, it is a foolishness. Only God opens that mind. But we need to understand the whole heart of the gospel. There is a problem. Why did Christ come to give this gospel? Because there is sin involved. What is sin? The commandment of God, that God gave a commandment to Adam. God told Adam, but if of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam and Eve violated the commandment of God. And God made this covenant with them, and they violated this, and the sin is the transgression of the covenant. And 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, "For whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is transgression of the law." Sin is violating the commandments of God. Adam broke the covenant with God when God commanded him not to eat of the fruit. He listened to the devil. He was obedient to the devil and was disobedient to God. And what is more heinous in breaking this covenant is because it is coming against the authority of God. To break a covenant with men is a sin. How much more if you break a covenant with God? Now, this is why it is called in Psalm 89 verse 2 that we saw God is going to establish mercy that was established in heaven for His elect. The God gave grace for the elect. We don't deserve it. He could have left alone with everybody else. But God, in His mercy, gave this grace. Jonathan Edwards said, I quote, "Man's soul was ruined by the fall. The image of God was ruined. Man's nature was corrupted when he sinned and destroyed, and man became dead in sin. The design of God was to restore the soul of man, to restore life to it and the image of God in conversion, and to carry on the restoration in sanctification and to perfect in glory. Man's body was ruined by the fall. It became subject to death. The design of God was to restore it from the ruin, and not only to deliver it from death in the resurrection, but to deliver from mortality itself in making like unto Christ's glorious body." Close quote. Remember, when man sinned, what happened? Did God didn't allow them to wait? But in Genesis chapter 3, 15, we see the dawning of the gospel for the first time. When God told, "And I'm going to put enmity between you, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy seed, and thou shalt bruise thy heel." This was the dawning of the gospel. The good news is pronounced in Genesis 3:15 for us. There is no good news without the bad news, right? The bad news is that we are all under the wrath of God. That's the bad news. The good news was promised to man, out of the woman will come the holy righteous seed of God. Out of the woman. Out of the devil will come the wicked seed. There are two seeds, Christ's seed and the devil's seed. They will have what? Enmity with each other. Enmity means what? Hatred. That's why the church and the world is always hatred towards another. Christ will bruise the head of the devil, and the devil will bruise his heel. The devil had the glory when he crucified Christ on the cross, but Christ conquered the power of the devil on the cross. He fulfilled the promises. Of course, then again we see God revealing this covenant to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, bringing Abraham from the Chaldeans, from the Ur, from the idolatrous nation, and taking Abraham out of that land and giving him a covenant that through the seed of Abraham will come the Messiah and people are going to be blessed. Then God again renewed this covenant in Genesis chapter 15. If you remember, God, Abraham said to God, you know, there's nobody who will take this. Only my servant Eliezer, he's the one who has, you know. So God said, told Abraham, go up, go in the night time and count the stars. See if you can count the number of stars. See if you can count the sand in the seashore. And that's how your descendants are going to be. Then God said, the greatest thing in Genesis 15 is, this is a different study, that God told Abraham to bring some animals, cut them into half. The covenant, the word covenant means what? Cut. And when you make a covenant, if you break that covenant, in the Old Testament custom, that you are going to be cut into half. And God told Abraham, cut this into animals into half. And then what happened? God, in a flashing torch, Abraham was put to sleep, and God went through those animals in between. And God said, what God is saying is, if I break this covenant, I will be cut into half. I will stop being God. That's the covenant that God made with Abraham. And when God made a covenant, he will never break it because he is God. God never changes. He's immutable. Then in Luke chapter 1 verse 46, we see Luke chapter 1 46, when Jesus was born, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God and my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, and henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our father, who? To Abraham, and to his seed forever. Even Mary saw this and saw, why did Jesus came? Because he remembered all the way going through to Abraham the covenant that God promised to Abraham. Then we see again, in Luke chapter 1 verse 70, when Zechariah said, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, this, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand all that hate us. Verse 71, then 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to what? To remember, see the word remember, his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Remember. Now, everything is centered on redemption. Now, redemption has to do with what? Salvation. Salvation comes by how? The salvation comes by hearing the gospel. The gospel is the good news. And good news is from what? Again, I say the good news is from the bad news. Then what is the bad news? The bad news is what? The bad news is the wrath of God that is going to come. The wrath of God that is going to come upon all who are unbelievers. All who disobey God. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, Apostle Paul said, if you turn with me to Colossians 3:16, it has to be presented with the bad news. Otherwise, they will not understand the good news. Colossians 3:16, Apostle Paul said, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And you can read the things before, and you will see all the things what he's talking there. The wrath of God is going to come. I'll tell you, if you receive a punishment from an earthly father or an earthly mother, it hurts. But how much more the punishment of God? The wrath of God that is going to come. The good news is that the believers are saved from the wrath of God. That's the good news. The good news is what? We are saved from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 says here, If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1:10, rapture, and then suddenly you go to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, is past tense, delivered us from the wrath of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. How much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Very clear. Even the creation of heaven and earth had to do with redemption, because God, he prepared a kingdom for the true believers before the foundations of the world. In Matthew chapter 25 verse 34, let me read this for you. Jesus said, Matthew 25:34, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. Even the angels are being employed for this work, because the apostle calls them the ministering spirits that sent forth, who shall to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. It's all focused on salvation. Even in the Old Testament, if you remember, in the Holy of Holies were the two tablets, right? And then even the cherubims were looking at the mercy, at the mercy seat. And who is the mercy seat? It is Christ. Christ is the focus. He is the center of the whole redemption. And this is where Apostle John in 1 John is trying to tell us, we need to remember these things. We need to remember the beginnings. It's so important that we need to remember the beginnings. Christ is the focus. He is the center of the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you remember the two disciples who were walking the Emmaus road, and they were talking of what happened, how Jesus was crucified, and they were talking about this. They were not talking fleshly things. They were talking spiritual things. If you are talking spiritual things, who will come in the middle? Who will come in the midst? Christ. And here, Christ came and he exposed to them. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures concerning himself. Christ is the rock of our salvation, which we have heard from the beginning. We need to continue in him, and it should remain in us. We need to build our house not on sand. We need to build our house. When I say house, I'm not talking a literal house here. I'm talking our soul. Okay? Our spiritual life, we need to build not on the Hollywood stars, not on the worldly things, but on Christ alone. Christ must be all. That means he must be all in your life, in everything. He must be all. Colossians, Apostle Paul said, but Christ is all in all. For the rich man, his wealth is all. To another, Hollywood stars are all. That's all. To the people who love worldly music, the musicians are all. For some others, the sports are all. Don't disturb me on Sunday. I'm watching the football game. For some others, shopping is all. That means they know all the sales, what is going on. Everything they know, which stores, where to go, and everywhere. The whole mind is focused on that. For that is all. For some others, the job is all. For some others, the house is all. And this is it. I got so much time to spend in the house. For some others, it's the friends. That is all. For some, is the alcohol. That is all. For some, it's drugs. For some, it is sex. That is all. They are always thinking about sex. And for some others, it's entertainment. That is all. And all what they want is a TV and glued to it and watching TV and going here. They are entertainment. This is all they want. But it's not Christ. That is all. What we need is Christ. He's the one who died for you, us. He's the one who paid the price. Christ should be all. Then if you treasure Christ, you will never perish. Because He will never leave you nor forsake you, because all the other things are going to leave you. Everything else that you are putting your hope, they are going to leave you. And they are there for benefits of their own selfishness. Tell you, some people, their God is like Michael Jordan. He doesn't even know you. And Christ is never going to leave you nor forsake you. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. You shall be happy and be blessed, and you'll be crowned with glory, and you'll be made to sit with Christ on the throne forever and ever. That is, if you have Christ all in all. Perhaps, maybe you're a hard-working man. Maybe you don't have much rest. During the week, when you come home, you're tired because there are so many things to do. And you're tired. And I commend for your work, because there are some people who are lazy. So I really commend for your work. But let me ask you, is that all? Is that all? Were you made only to be a machine for your job? Were you created only to stand at the counter to be a cashier? Or a doctor, or a nurse, or a teacher, or a housemaid, or a laborer? Or whatever your job is, do you think that God made you for that and that only? Is that the chief end of man? To earn a paycheck for every 2 weeks and try to meet your ends? Are you fulfilling the will of God by doing this? Labor not for the meat that perishes, Jesus said, but for that which endured unto eternal life. John chapter 6 verse 27. What is your priority? What is your priority? Priority is that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. God has made man that He may what? Glorify Him. That is our chief goal. Whatever you do, even if your job or whatever you do, you put God number one. The center should be God. And whatever else man accomplish, you know, if you're accomplishing your own things, it's going to fail to reach that end and can make an eternal shipwreck of your faith. Why do we need to be reminded? That's a good question. Why do we need to be reminded? And I told you, we are prone to forget. And also, why? Why is it? There's an answer in the scriptures if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 89 verse 47. It gives the answer. Psalm 89:47. John in this epistle is trying to tell, remember those beginnings, the things. We need to ask the question, why we need to be reminded. Psalm 89 verse 47. Remember how short my time is. Wow. Basically, that's it. If somebody's time is short, needs to be reminded of these things. And we never realize that our time is short, right? Our time is short. Need to be reminded. If you're going on a journey and you have planned all these things, you've got to do all these things. You need to be reminded of all those things, what you're going to do. That's what it is. Psalm chapter 39 verse 5. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Wow. Our time, our our life here before God is nothing. It's just as a handbread, like this. That's it. It's just as a handbread. So Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days. It says to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So if our time is short, we need to be reminded, we need to number our days. We are not going to live forever here. We are all going to die. One day everybody is going to stand before the judge of the universe, and you had to give an accountability of what you have done and what you believe. All the things, you know, we are limited and have a very short life here on this earth. You know, time, I was thinking about this. Time is only on this earth, right? You know, we need a clock for everything. Why? Because our time is limited. We live for a short time. That's why we have a clock. When you go to heaven, there are no clocks. You don't need to look at a wristwatch. Because heaven is for eternity. You don't need one. How about hell? It's the same thing. That's the most scary part. In hell, you're not going to look at your clock and say, how long am I going to be in this place of agony? No alarm clock, nothing. It's forever. You don't need a clock. Only here we need the clock. Only here we need the time. That's why Psalmist said, our time is short. That's why, is these things we need to remind? Because the time is short. We need to number our days. All the things that you are going to do is going to burn, perish. Yes, all the hard labor and everything what you do for the world and everything is going to perish. But anything what is done in the name of Jesus is going to remain. There are many who are diligent in worldly things, looking for worldly profits. Always they know the bargain, spending how much time in the mall shopping, but not concerned about the souls that are perishing. They are more concerned on what they eat, drink and wear, just like the Gentiles. Remember Jesus said that. More concerned about their wallet, about how much money they earn, how much they have, and the dollars. Their heart and mind and affections are upon this world. Remember, when God told Lot to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot's wife told them, don't ever look at that wicked city. But Lot's wife looked. And Jesus, in the book of Luke, said, remember Lot's wife. Again, give us a remembrance there. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Because the heart and minds and affections upon this world rather than spiritual things. So if we have wasted all these years, then we cannot redeem that was lost, right? We cannot redeem what was lost. We wasted it, we cannot redeem it. So all we can do is to improve the little time that remains. That means extremely little you have time. And we need to improve that until our death. And once death comes, that's it. No more time. So we need to remember that how we have sinned against God. Realize how deeply you have sinned against the God of heaven. You need to repent of your sins. Repentance is with deep sorrow from your heart and turning to Christ for eternal life. Repentance is negative things, turning from sin. And faith is a positive thing, turning to Christ. If you truly repent, then God is going, He is not going to remember your sins. Again, He's not going to remember your sins. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25. God said, I, even I am He that blotted out the transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Wow, isn't that great? So what is the power of the gospel? The power of the gospel is that it can make an unholy man to a saint. It can make a drug addict, the drunkard, the thief, the adulterer, the self-righteous man to a holy man. Jesus' first miracle was what? To turn water into wine. And then what it means is he came to make sinners into saints. He can make the unrighteous into righteous. This is the power of the gospel. You cannot earn it, you cannot do it, only God can do it. But you need to repent. Romans 3:21, Paul said, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness is from God through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe." This righteousness is from God. God is the one who can make us righteous. Remember, Adam was righteous before God before he sinned. He was perfect, he was righteous, but it was the righteousness of man. Ours is the righteousness of God. Human righteousness fails, but the divine righteousness shall never fail. It can never fail. So how many of you remember the sermons that preach to you in the name of Jesus? How many of you remember? How many of you meditate upon the sermons? How many of you remember the restaurants that you ate during the past month? Remember the delicious food, the menu, and everything what you ate. You remember pretty good. But do you remember the sermons that you heard? I'm asking you. Physical food, our flesh craves for physical food. Right? Yes, it does. But when it's come to spiritual food, are you craving for it? Are you looking forward for the Sunday morning service? Are you praying for the Sunday morning service and asking, "Lord, prepare my heart. I want to hear your word." Or are you coming just, it's Sunday today. Got to go to church. It's like coming to a class and learn something and go home. Forget everything what you learned. You've got to be in the Spirit. Jesus said you had to be in the Spirit. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The worldly will do that. But if you are a Christian, you will walk in the Spirit. Many are like the children of Israel. They remember the garlic, the onions, the cucumbers, the fish. But they forgot the commandments of God. It is the same today. There's no difference. They saw the power of God. It's the same today. It is the same today. They perish in the wilderness as they walk in their flesh. They were reminded over and over again. And when they were reminded, they walked with the Lord for a little while. Then soon after, they forgot. It is the same here in the church. You know, after, you know, Sunday comes, it's good. You know, Monday, you know, they remember that. Then comes Tuesday, Wednesday, they forget. And again, they need to go back to church. When you go to the mall, to the world, to other places, you forget. That's why God told the Israel, don't have any covenants with other pagan nations, right? Don't have any alliance with the pagan nations. In the same way, don't get caught up to this world. Because you will soon forget the word of God. Let me close with the words of Jesus. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. And a lot of churches are dead today. They have beautiful buildings. They look pretty outside, but inside they are dead. Jesus is saying these things, and to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These things says he who has a servant spirit of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. A lot of churches, you have a big name, big building, big works, big programs. Jesus is saying, you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which what? Remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect. Strengthen the things which remain that you are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore you what you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come on you. So what you have heard, what you have received, we need to obey. That's what he's saying here. Because you never know what time God will come and take your life. You never know. Let's pray.